I want to keep it funky.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
All right, welcome back as we are live here on The Drive, 1 hour down. And if you missed any of that, you can find us on the Odyssey app. You can go back and check out that first hour. But hang with us here. We appreciate you all jumping on with us and riding with us here on The Drive here on Sports Radio 610. You can get involved on the text line, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch as well. And this is always that interesting time of the year leading into training camp where ESPN and Jeremy Fowler, Clint, goes to all the position groups. They've done cornerback, and the Texans you knew would rate really high on that with
cornerback,
with Stingley getting a nod at two, and then Kamari being the very first. Looked like, if you look at it, how they have honorable mentions, he was the 11th guy right there. But then they did running backs. By the way, I'm really intrigued to see how many guys they have on these lists. But they did running backs. And I say this to the listeners as well. David Montgomery, I don't think, I feel like I can say this, right, Clint? I don't think anybody thought that he would make the top 10 list, right?
Army Swiss Knife.
Of running backs in the NFL. Like, well, top.
Do you have the top? Do you have the list?
I do. The top 10 list.
If it doesn't start with Jahmyr Gibbs, I quit.
It doesn't.
I quit.
Bijan Robinson is who it starts with. I thought you were going to be back. Wait, chill in.
That's fair. I'd rather have Jahmyr, but I get it.
Breece Hall is 10, and it starts with Bijan Robinson. Bijan Robinson, 1, Jahmyr Gibbs, 2, Saquon Barkley, 3, Christian McCaffrey, 4, Jonathan Taylor, 5, Derrick Henry, James Cook, Achan, and then Kenneth Walker, and Breece Hall was 10. And then honorable mentions was Josh Jacobs, Kyron Williams of the Rams, Quinshon Judkins of the Browns, and then others receiving votes is the Bears, DeAndre Swift, Javonte Williams, Chase Brown, Ashton Jeanty, Trayvon Henderson, Travis Etienne, and Alvin Kamara. So that ran 20 guys, and there was no, not only in the top 10, Clint, there was no David Montgomery. There was no David Montgomery in the top 20. And I'll be honest, there's some other backs out there that that could probably think that they could be in the top 20 that's not on that list. Did that hit your ears weird when you heard, all right, they've made a top 20 list and there is no David Montgomery there? And then I just read the names of the 20 names that made it in terms of the top 10 honorable mention and others receiving votes. Does that hit weird for you that David Montgomery is not?
No, it doesn't hit weird. Even though after hearing the list, you could argue that he should be right there in that 19-20 range. I can argue that. But the reality of it is no. I mean, look, you're talking about a one-trick pony. I mean, we can sell. I saw an article yesterday, I think, somebody talking about him being a three-down back. Yeah, he's a three-down back if you can stay ahead of the chains. He is a downhill between the tackles back. If he's catching the ball in the backfield, it's going to be checkdowns. I think when you look at the stylistically the kind of back that he is, I think he starts. The best version of him starts in the probably 12 to 15 range, and given that he was backing up Jahmyr Gibbs last year and losing reps for another back in the league, pushed him down the list.
Probably his age probably hurt him a little bit too.
Yeah. I mean, look, the fact that the Texans have been pissy poor in a run game probably doesn't help him any. So it doesn't hit me wrong or bother me at all that he's not in the top 20. I could probably put an argument together that he's again in that 19-20 range, but for what? I mean, you're still talking about bottom half of the league,
at least in that top 20 part of it. Yeah, I wasn't surprised, especially when you start to see the names. And as I said, maybe there may be a couple of others out there that you'd wonder, you say to yourself, is he?
Well, them top six or seven are strong, son.
Yeah, pushing Breece Hall to 10. When you say Breece Hall's 10, you're like, well, dang, man, yeah. If he's 10, hell, David Montgomery probably wasn't. you know, wasn't close. But he is, to me, the perfect fit for what the Texans want to do. Right? And that doesn't necessarily have to be a top 10 back, but specifically with what it seems like they want to do, which is be really, really physical and run the football and I think maintain possession of the ball, and they don't mind going 4 yards. They don't mind. For what it is that they want, I think he fits perfectly. To me, the question is, off of it is, I stand by it. By the way it appears that they want to play offense, and now the best success level this offense can have based on how it seems like they want to play, I've said it for most of the offseason, they need to have a top 10 rushing attack. And the thing is, can you have that in your mind without a top 20 back in the league? Can that happen? Now, I will say last year it happened twice. I think the Commanders were a top 10 rushing attack. Now, they did have a quarterback that can run that adds and helps as well in all kinds of ways, but they didn't have a top 20 guy in that list. And the Giants also. Now, Scadaboo was probably really coming on before he got injured, and Jackson Dart probably also adds to the running attack as well, and Tracy's not terrible. But those were the two teams last year there that were in the top 10 rushing units that did not have a guy in the top 20 of them.
That's interesting, given both of them had down or sub 500 years, weren't they?
Yep.
That's interesting. Look, I think it's possible. I mean, I think it depends on when you talk about a top 10 run game, like what does that look like? Is that, you know, yards per carry? Is that overall rushing total yards?
This was based on yards per game.
Yards per game. Yeah, I don't think, no. The answer to that question is no. I don't think David Montgomery's going to lead the league in rushing. I don't think he's even going to be a factor in terms of leading the league in rushing. I think there's a chance that he can be a guy that the total carries is up there. Can this offensive
line?
That's
what it would have to be, is the commitment. If they are one of the top 10 teams that has, you know, top 10 in rushing yards per game.
Yeah.
Obviously it won't just be David. You know, obviously it'll be David Montgomery. It will be
Woody Marks
as well. I think it'll be maybe commitment to running it.
Mm-hmm.
Do they try, like, they have a goal of trying to hand the ball off 30 times to those guys and run the football. And I think that's the route that they can get in, which it feels like that's probably what the Giants and the Commanders did, although they have quarterbacks that threaten you running the football too. That kind of helps maybe not having a top 20 guy back there.
Yeah, I just don't see it. I like David Montgomery. I like David Montgomery as an ad. To this team, from a personality standpoint, I think the overall approach to offensive football, as I've said multiple times, I think this offense is one of the easiest in the league to defend, and I don't think that bodes well for David Montgomery. You know, I mean, it's just one of those where you look at it and you go, okay, you know, we're gonna cut our splits. You know, and just try to get our receivers involved in the run game, and we'll run everything downhill and try to just stay ahead of the chains. There's nothing exotic about the run game. There's no inside outside, combos where they had the ability to hit you and turn the corner unless it's by accident. So I don't know how schematically they can get there. That would be tough. Can they accomplish what they're set out to accomplish, which is just a quality run game that you can stay ahead of the chains? I think they could possibly do that, depending on how well CJ Stroud plays, but I think they could possibly do that. But lead the league in rushing, be a top 10 rushing offense, I don't think that's going to happen.
I think for the offense to be at its best, it feels like to me that's where they need to be trending.
Yeah,
that needs to be trending, because I think it's the best thing their offensive line appears that they will be able to do is run block, and especially if they could control, you know, when they want to pass and not have to pass the football
They're going to have to. That's why it's so important, and not to get off in the weeds here on it, Ron, but we talk about this offensive line. Like, I don't think people understand what we're talking about. Like, I don't think they're going to have to absolutely dominate the line of scrimmage in the box. This isn't a.
And
you got
a
guy.
They feel like they've built a group that can do that.
Well, I hope they feel like they had. They're the ones that built it. But you don't have a guy, and I don't even know that really. To be honest with you, I mean, I like Woody Marks. I think Woody Marks has probably been a little bit overrated here because he was our guy and he jumped on the scene last year. Like, you don't have a guy on this offense that can make a defense pay for giving you a crease. And I mean hit you head on a goalpost type of pay, right? So, and I only say that, I'm not beating on them. I'm just saying, like, I only say that to say, if that's the case, then your production is going to have to be, we're going to out-scheme these guys, right? We're going to go get 3 or 4 yards because this, we got a hat on a hat every single damn time. Making somebody miss is not going to be our forte, right? In order to force a safety off the roof and make CJ's life a little bit more enjoyable, right? You're going to have to, it's not going to be about hitting a crease. It's not going to be about bouncing around outside and going to get in the corner. It's going to be, you have to absolutely, because their defenses are going to put the Texans in a place where you're going to have the numbers. You're going to be able to line up in whatever formation, and you're going to have a hat for a hat. They're going to keep two on the roof and just say, hey, CJ and Nico ain't going to beat us. We're not going to let the big play over the top beat us. We're going to force you to go 13 plays and score. You're going to have a hat on a hat and inside, and it's going to come down to, can you move those guys? Can you absolutely dominate those guys? And while I think you got better, I don't know if you can dominate your way beyond the second round of the playoffs. That's the key in this run game, is better, yes.
Yeah.
Can you run it well enough to force a safety off the roof so that now C.J. Stroud and Nico and Jaden Higgins and all these guys can cook? That's a big step.
They'd be able to force
that's a big step.
Yeah, so there it is. No David Montgomery in the top 20 of backs here that executive coaches – general managers have put together. By the way, they also did the top rosters. Texans at 9 in the top 10. Leave the at least best projected starting lineups.
The arrows pointed up
in the top 10, and I think their defense can carry that. Like, their defensive starting, there are not many holes at all.
Well, on the heels of the conversation that we just had, Ron. Biggest strength, obviously, edge defense, right?
Maybe even corner, they said also. They're good.
Right. On the heels of what we just said in this article, biggest weakness, offensive line. This group is perhaps the NFL's shakiest starting five. That should not be the case.
Yeah. Especially for how they want to.
That can't be. Yes. Based on how you want to play offense, and you're telling the whole league that you got to run it better and you got to improve your run game, but yet people that cover the league look at it and go, yep. Biggest weakness still in five up front.
I would have felt more comfortable if they'd have said the group with a lot of questions, because that's how I feel. I feel like it's a group that has kind of questions. I don't know about Shaky. Shaky feels a little rough. I feel like it's almost, for me, questions in terms of wait and see how it looks, because I do think this, on paper, the offensive line looks better, especially from a physicality standpoint. When you put in, when you talk about Braden Smith, you're talking about Teller, you're talking about potentially Rutledge in there, and to go along with the guys you had last year.
I mean, you
that
signed,
feels but, like but, a but physical Ryan, group, you, a much more physical group. So I'd have.
You used a first round pick and signed 3 free agents. Like, had your
veterans.
Pick, 3 free agent veterans, and it's still, like, just blatantly obvious, like, nationally, like, yeah, that offensive line is still a weakness. Whole roster. You can pick any position you want, man. EJ Speed got hurt. I mean, wide receivers, you got, hell, you got two rookies. One, I mean, you got two second year guys.
One of those other spots. Yeah.
I mean, you got, but you, I mean, tight ends, hell, beyond Dalton Schultz, you don't know what the hell we got. Wide receiver, beyond Nico Collins, we think we like Jaden Higgins. We think Jalen Knowles got a chance. We really don't know what the hell we got. Beyond David Montgomery, look, I like Woody Marks, but we really don't know exactly where, how he fits in this thing. I mean, you could pick any, but you just go with the one position where they just.
That's the one. That's the position that they did the most work in, yeah, in the offseason.
Whoo, that's painful. That's painful to read.
But it still has them as the ninth rated projected starting lineup. Top 10.
Defense is good, Chief.
That defense is something else. Ooh, not a lot of holes there. Not a lot of holes there. All right, it's Tuesday. We do a little real or fake. We throw out a statement. You let me know if it's real or fake. We'll do that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, a little real or fake coming up here in just a bit. I got a shout out to a listener here on YouTube. R-E-Y. Damn, that auction company works fast. Got my ball in the mail today. Congratulations. We appreciate you for helping us help the Houston Food Bank and everybody who went with us. Boy, it was a real charge late, too. So we absolutely appreciate everybody involved. Help raise over 72,000, raise enough money to give over 72,000 meals with the Houston Food Bank. And that was year two. Year three, we are hoping to take it up a notch. So we appreciate you. Congratulations on your auction item. And thanks to everybody who helped be a part of that. So it was a good time.
Big time run, man. Big time by you boys for putting that thing together, man. And definitely got, damn near $50,000. I thought it was over 50 grand, but damn near $50,000 total in 2 years. And with the
It's over 50. Yeah, over 50,000.
I didn't know if my math was right, but I heard you say it earlier, and I was like, "Well, damn, I don't want to question." But over 50 grand in 2 years, and with the capacity, the ability, the desire to grow that thing, man, that's you guys deserve. You got a big shout out, man. The list, Ron and Reg, and the listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, it is Tuesday. We do this each and every Tuesday. A little. Real or fake? I say a statement. You could text in and participate and let me know if it's real or fake. Tyler, let's start with you. Real or fake? The Astros need to add a significant starting pitcher to get to the playoffs before the deadline. Real or fake?
Oh, I will say that is absolutely real. Nothing fake about that at all. You cannot be depending on Lance McCullers Jr. coming back. You cannot be depending on Christian Javier coming back. If they come back and they're great, that's a bonus. That's awesome. But right now, you have the Diesel Hunter Brown and Big Pete Lambert, basically. I mean, at this moment, with Arrigetti kind of falling off
here lately. He had a better last start.
That's true. Sorry, Spence. But no, I'm going to say very real. If they want to make any kind of noise in October, they got to trade for an arm, and a starting arm to be specific.
Significant right there. Real or fake? The Astros, Clint, need to add a significant starting pitcher to get themselves to the playoffs.
I'm going to say fake because of the way you ended the question. To get to the playoffs. I think the American League is bad enough this year to where they can piece this thing together with whether it's Christian Javier or Lance McCullers or Wisniewski or Ronel O'Neill Blanco, whoever, a combination of all of them, I'm sure. I think they can piece this thing together and at the very least get into that wild card, winning wild card spots. Yeah, I think it's fake. Unfortunately, I think you changed the ending of that sentence to make it even be a threat. I think they have to add a significant starting pitcher. But to get in, no, I think the American League's gonna let that happen. These bats are long as you got Yordan in the middle of that thing, I think you can swing your way to a wild card spot.
I'm gonna agree with Tyler and say real, and I think it's what he said there late is, and you've been on this too, Clint, like it's almost the weight of like how long is Peter gonna be able to do this? Is Peter gonna be able to do this? Because right now, you know, I would have said fake because Spencer had been pitching at such a high level. And I felt like he had gotten starting to get to a point of I can depend on that guy. That's a top three of the rotation type of guy. Him, Hunter, maybe Pete, you know, maybe Javier can jump in. But now, like, I think this team, it's concerning who their second best starter is. And I'm even thinking to reach the playoffs. It's concerning if Spencer Arrighetti is still going to struggle. So I'm going to say real that's got to be a priority for Dana and company to add a significant, like a Kikuchi, like they did a couple years ago. That's a significant. He became a top towards the top of the rotation guy. I feel like they need to make another move like that. All right, Clint, real or fake? Caleb Williams will be viewed as a top five quarterback at the end of this season.
Like Caleb Williams, love the Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams fit. Maybe one of my favorite OC play caller quarterback combos in the league in terms of just fun to watch, but I can't give him top five. Top five in the entire NFL.
You don't think he'll jump? You don't think he'll make the jump?
I think he'll flirt with it. I think he'll be in the conversation, but I think when it comes down to it, you have to put the NFC and the AFC together. I think it's going to be hard to crack that top five. I mean, again, you got the likes of Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, obviously. I think Joe Burrow, if he can stay healthy. I do think that Buddy in Washington, if he can stay healthy, I think he has a year that's going to be hard to ignore because of his ability to run the football and throw the football. Haven't even mentioned Dak. Haven't mentioned Matthew Stafford, last year's MVP. I mean, I think you start rattling off those guys. I think it's going to be hard to crack that top five, but I do think he's in the conversation and he'll be flirting with it for sure. But no, I think fake. I can't give him top five.
Yeah, you'd have to say to yourself, who is in that top five? I think the three you named, Mahomes, Allen, and Lamar
Stafford.
I think those three are definitely there until you see something different. I think the Joe Burrow injury, I think, opens the door for a spot. The amount, like, they have not been to the playoffs in a while. Although when he plays, though, they're really good. He's really good. So maybe there's an opening there. Stafford.
Dak.
The age there. Dak. Drake May was second in the MVP last year. Yeah. But although I think Caleb's better than him in my eyes. I think there's an opportunity.
From a system perspective, right? I mean, he's got a huge advantage over a lot of these guys. I mean, he's even got an advantage over, like, Josh Allen. You know, Josh Allen, I mean, look, I love Joe Brady. I think he's a really good offensive mind, but I think he's going to do.
Herbert there.
I think he's going to do. Yeah, good call. I think he's going to do what's smart, right? I think he's going to. Talking about Josh Allen and Joe Brady in Buffalo, I think they're going to be boring and run the football a lot. And so I think just by their approach, I think it's gonna leave the door wide open for Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson. You know they're going to be sexy. You know they're going to be exotic.
God, he's got to be better year two, you would think, in that system.
Yeah.
Like learning that.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, Ben Johnson doesn't shy away from, hey, man, I'm going to build this thing around Caleb like you ain't never seen it. I mean, he doesn't shy away from you know, changing his ways to fit his quarterback one bit. So I really like him.
Tyler, real or fake? Joey Chestnut, who just won his 18th hot dog eating contest title with 66 hot dogs eaten. You still impressed by him every year, real or fake?
Yeah, I mean, to some degree, that's real. I mean, he not only wins it year in and year out, he does it by a pretty wide margin most of the time, I want to say. 18 of the last 20 years, that big old mouth gullet. Yeah, it impresses me. All them wieners.
I'm going to tell you, boy. I think it's
one of the dumbest things that we've
done. Guzzling glizzies.
It absolutely disgusts me. And it's not even the fact that he's shoving wieners in his mouth. It's just I mean, you like hot dogs, just shoveling as many hot dogs as you can down your and that's and the bun, the wet bun, the whole thing is just.
I know 4th of July is his time. And It's like slid itself into like the sports kind of realm of things. I think it is the dumbest thing that we talk about. I don't want to say the dumbest. Top five, like that gets included in the sports. It's just so it's like
he's the MJ of eating wieners.
He is, but I'm just like
The Gretzky.
I feel like that should be a Food Network bit.
The Tiger Woods of Glizzy Goblin.
He's all of it. He is. He's great.
Tyler's rolling.
It just doesn't do anything. It has never done anything for me.
The Pele of sausage swallowing.
If I did not work in this business, I would not. That's a good one. The last one. If I did not stall and see if you come with some more, but if I did not work in this business, I would never know what he's done. I would not check up on it. When I see that Nathan stuff, move right past it every time.
It damn sure gets attention.
He's Adele Earnhardt and Richard Petty.
You don't have it.
I don't have another one.
Damn it. You had more goats.
I didn't have more wiener analogies.
Yeah, you didn't have. You didn't have, yeah.
I wonder if he prefers his wieners boiled or like grilled or what.
Coming up. Team USA lost last night and got their asses just absolutely crushed. And I'm curious from our audience and my two guys that I think, hell, I think we all fit into the casual soccer fan boat. I mean, I feel like Clint's even less casual than the rest of us. But was last night it? Did last night conclude your watching of the World Cup? Or are you still hanging in there? We'll discuss that coming up next.
I want to give that sausage a whirl.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here on The Drive. If you missed the news today after he got his ass kicked up and down all of Washington, Mike Burrows, who we call Homer Mike, has been optioned to AAA Sugar Land, so he has made, I'm not going to say he's made his last start this year. I don't know. You just never know. He's made his last start for a while, I would think. So he has been optioned to Sugar Land, and old Santa's been called back up. We'll see what that means. Hopefully we'll hear from they play a little earlier today because they're on the East Coast, so hopefully we'll hear from the manager, Joe Espada, about potentially who is going to be the next person to fill their spot. So there's a lot of rehab things going on, starts to be made. We know Christian Javier is up. We know that there may be others coming up as well.
The Christian combo.
That's right. It's going to be a lot of Astros down there in Sugar Land. Jake's out there. Burrow's out there. Pena's out there. Ronell's out there. There's a lot of guys out there. Go check out the Houston Astros Space Cowboys out there as well. But that is the big news of the day with Homer Mike. All right, Clint, last night the other big news is Team USA. They got absolutely destroyed, as my man after the game on Fox just kept saying, there's levels to this. And clearly Team USA was not on the level of Belgium, and they're out of it. They lose 4-1. But today, right, Tyler, maybe the game of the tournament, as we're watching Argentina.
It's a candidate for sure.
Yeah, caused Tom Brady to say, I think that might be better than 28-3. They were down, 67th minute, something like that, near the 70th minute. They were down 2-0 to Egypt. And Argentina comes back and they score three goals. And the final one with 93 minutes left with extra time on there. Messi scored the game tying goal at the 84th minute. And then actually, I think we got the call. This was, which I think the game of the tournament, the call that gave Argentina the lead that completed the comeback.
Lautaro Martinez sending it over. About something that happened at the other end. Argentina played on, and Enzo Fernandez has perhaps scored the goal that keeps the defending world champions alive. The complaints continue meanwhile.
All right, that comeback was nuts here that just happened prior to us coming on the air. And my wonder is, especially with our listeners, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch, with Team USA losing last night, are you out? Because we still have the quarterfinals, the final eight. We'll see who wins between Switzerland and Colombia. Still stars. left France with Mbappe. They faced Morocco, Harry Kane and Bellingham for England, Holland, that guy from Norway, that big joker, who is something else. Look, he can play outside linebacker right now. Have you watched what he eats?
I've not.
Oh, my God. He gets after it. I mean, protein.
High calorie, high protein.
But he's still around. Real. So there are stars out there. Obviously, Messi is going to be in the final eight. Spain and Belgium, two of the better teams. Are you out now? Are you out for the World Cup, or are you going to continue to watch this thing to the end?
Oh, I'm out. Your boy's out. I may tune in to the championship, the final.
Yeah.
I may tune in to the World Cup final, depending on what's going on, depending on what's on TV that night. I may tune into that, but yeah. Otherwise, I ain't gonna sit here and lie to nobody. I'm cooked. I'm done. And I went. I don't quite feel like the Texans playoff loss at this point, but I was emotionally moved by how poorly they played last night. Yes, I was.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I'll be as aggressive, but Clint Tyler, I found myself watching non-U.S. games. I the Mexico England game. I watched the entire way. That looked like
it was. I watched a good chunk of that one.
When they start throwing drinks on those cats from England when they scored, I thought this thing might come unhinged. I watched that entire thing. We were sitting here as the show was coming together and watching that comeback. I think I can really see myself, Tyler, into the stars. The matchups that have the stars. Like Messi, I feel like I'm going to watch, because this may be his last, I'm going to watch Messi, whoever they play, Switzerland or Colombia. I'm probably going to watch France with their with that crew.
Strong squad, yeah.
Yeah, and they might be, Mbappe might be the best in the world right now. And that big dude from Norway, he has me.
That's like mine. Sure as hell am watching every Norway match.
But that's him and England, which is Kane and Bellingham is nice too. He might be better than Kane. So I found myself, I guess maybe since the round of 16, I think that's the first time I found myself. I watched Mexico matches because it was just kind of live.
I did as well over the weekend.
But this is the first this round of 16 and on is, I think, the first time I've sat down and been like, all right, I'm going to watch these matches that don't have the United States involved.
And I'm the same exact way.
And I mean, you can really kind of get in and out, baby. That 90 minutes, that halftime, they get you in and out, baby.
It is quick.
That halftime, that's like an AAU halftime, Jack. Yeah, they get you.
It is quick. From an efficiency standpoint, you can get your soccer game in and shut it down pretty quick. Yeah. They ain't gonna keep you up all night.
No.
I appreciate that.
I know this is the American in me. I'm just going to need somebody to give me. I lose myself. I lose it every time. And it doesn't matter who's playing. The time thing.
Stoppage time?
It's just not the stoppage time. And it's not so much the stoppage time, but it is this one joker on the field is the only one who knows how much time's left. And it literally seems like he's not going by time. He's going by, all right, let him get one last rush in.
Yeah, get close.
I don't even know how it's calculated.
Well, they calculate it by how much time for the hydration breaks and like if somebody got injured, a goal scored with the celebration. They kind of calculate everything. And then you look up there. And again, like you said, I don't know how they get up because sometimes, like they put up there with last night, they gave U.S. threw up four, but you'll see 11 run up there.
We needed 11.
Yeah, you need 11. You see 11 run up there, and then you look up there and you're counting. All right, we've passed the 11th minute. Portugal match yesterday, Portugal needed to tie it. They were 2.5 minutes past the stoppage time they put up there. And it's just like, I'm just like,
it's like an honor system type deal.
The announcer keeps saying, oh, he's looked at his watch, still no blow of the whistle. And I'm just like, They're just letting him get. They're letting him get one more. That part I think is just the American, like how I watch sports in me that I gotta get a break in. But
it is very different.
Yeah, it is different. I don't know if Spain and Belgium's gonna do anything for me, but these matches that have the stars in them, I can because I mean, there's not a whole lot going on right now. No. And I can catch. I mean, Mike will take you right on out and make you move on with your evening. Hell, Team USA damn near tried to as well. So, man, I think I'm still in. You're going to watch the final. Let's hopefully you watch the final.
I might. We'll see.
All right, what you got coming up in the fourth?
Burrow's got to go, and luckily we got some fellas that are on the way. And I got to give some teammates some shout outs to while they're here, man. Not just while they're gone, baby. Hell of a job done by the squad, man. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.